Why did China put a spy balloon over America, and what signal are they sending us? This is Brief Before Impact. Hey, welcome everyone, and thank you for joining me. I am Matt Parker. By popular demand via Instagram, everyone was asking for an episode on what the heck is a Chinese spy balloon doing over American territory. I'm going to cover a lot. Frankly, I'm going to sprint through most of this because the biggest question I want to answer is why would China actually launch this balloon? We're going to dig into, of course, the technology on the balloon, the flight path, the Secretary of State Blinken trip that he was going to take to China now that he's canceled, and all that. But more importantly, we're going to get to the intent and why China actually did this and the second and third order effects of this operation. Before we do, let me take a quick ad break and then we will get to work. All right, welcome back, everyone. So by now, no doubt, you've certainly seen on some news program somewhere that there was, I should say, as of earlier this afternoon, recording today on Saturday, February 4th, a Chinese spy balloon that had floated over North America, being detected over the state of Montana, and then it was monitored through the course as it pursued the path over to the East Coast, and finally it was shot down by an aircraft, by an American aircraft over the Atlantic Ocean. So the question is, the first thing is, where was it coming from and why wasn't it shot down immediately? So let's get into that. So the U.S. defense and military officials said today, that the balloon entered the U.S. air defense zone north of the Aleutian Islands. By the way, that's just off the coast of Alaska, in case you didn't know. So that, and they said it came over on January 28th. And it moved largely over land across Alaska and then into Canadian airspace in the Northwest Territories on Monday of this week. It crossed back into U.S. territory over northern Idaho on Tuesday, the day the White House said Biden was first briefed on it. This is according to ABC News. The balloon was spotted Thursday over Montana, home of Malmstrom Air Force Base, which has fields of nuclear missile silos. The Americans were able to collect intelligence on the balloon as it flew over the United States, giving them a number of days to analyze it and learn how it moved and what it was capable of surveilling, according to two senior defense officials said. The officials briefed reporters on the condition of anonymity. The officials also said that the U.S. military was constantly assessing the threat and concluded that the technology on the balloon didn't give the Chinese a significant intelligence beyond what it could already obtain from satellites, though the U.S. took steps to mitigate what information it could gather as it moved along. According to former NASA scientist Ross Hayes, the Chinese balloon must have been launched from somewhere in interior China, and an area of high pressure in the North Atlantic has moved the balloon across Russia, over Canada, and down into where it was first spotted into Montana, according to Hayes. So, there's a quick overview of how it got here, where it was launched from. Let's talk about this issue. Once it was recognized, once this balloon was seen, and it was over, no longer in Canadian airspace, but over the state of Montana or northern Idaho, why was it not shot down immediately? Because this is the first thing, and I've heard other commentators say this that I listen to and respect, and they're like, it makes us look weak that we didn't shoot it. This is a weakness of the Biden administration. And I frankly think that's short-sighted and intellectually, it's kind of intellectually a weak argument to be making. I say that because, not that I'm a balloon expert by any means, done a little bit of research, and I've seen quite a bit of satellite photographs and footage in my time in the Army, so I have an idea of what capabilities exist that the Chinese have from a satellite perspective, and I think of a balloon, specifically a spy balloon, thing that's been around for decades. Frankly, balloons have been used in warfare for over 100 years at this point. When I think of the threat, the immediate threat this kind of spy balloon presents the United States, I would wager the Chinese have already had the same, more or less the same capability via their spy satellites to collect and gather intelligence that they wanted over the state of Montana. And specifically these Air Force bases that house some of our nuclear weapons. By not shooting it down, I don't frankly think that makes us look weak. I compare that to another foreign policy issue. We've spent billions in Ukraine, and we've certainly spent 20 years in Afghanistan and Iraq fighting counterterrorism. America has no problem, both Democrats and Republicans, no problem spending lots of money and killing lots of bad people that, you know, in their view, that are bad or deserve to be killed. Okay, so I don't think not shooting down this balloon makes America look weak. I totally disagree with that. Now you could argue, well, hold on, Matt, this is a spy balloon. Shouldn't we shoot that down immediately? Now, this is a valid point, but here's my challenge. Does a spy balloon really offer that much better capability to collect intelligence compared to the spy satellites the Chinese have? We'll get into this a little bit briefly, but it's not such a huge advantage. Or does the balloon offer like an imminent threat to life or material? The answer is no, that we need to shoot it down immediately. So that then becomes, in my mind, I'm just putting myself in the commander seat for a second here. Okay, I'm going to shoot this down. That has to happen. So because I want to understand the balloon, its technology, what intelligence it's collected, I'm going to shoot it down eventually. Now it just comes down to when I want to do that. Over land, where it could potentially land on a group of people, or maybe a number of homes, maybe do some damage to someone. You know, there's that possibility. And the further and further it goes east, you get more to populated areas. So if I'm not going to do it over a state like Montana, for example, I'm certainly not going to do it over like South Carolina, right? I'm just going to wait till it gets to the ocean. So I can see how the Biden administration decided, rather than wait, if they've assessed that the balloon wasn't that big of a threat from its ability to collect intel, then they're like, all right, well, let's shoot it down. When are we going to do that? Let's wait till it's over water where we believe that it won't present any type of threat to people or homes or buildings, etc. Okay, so that's why, number one, I think that was their calculation they were being made. They make it because it's like, this is not a dramatic threat in terms of the balloon's capability. So now just comes the probability of what will happen once we shoot it down. And they made the decision to go over water. I get it. I don't know if I would actually do the same thing, or I say, let's just go for it in Montana. But either way, I understand where they're coming from. So I just don't think it makes us look weak because that's the decision they made. So that's the first answer on that question of why we didn't. I totally see both sides. Let's talk a little bit more about the technology of the balloon and balloons generally speaking, because there's arguments have been made by the Chinese, and we'll get into this, of no, this was just a weather balloon that we had, and it's gone off course. So let's dig into this a bit. This is according to Jonathan Porter. He's a chief meteorologist at AccuWeather. He was telling Time magazine that the reported characteristics of the balloon don't really match anything that we're familiar with. He's referring to weather balloons. Now, around the world, thousands of government-operated and privately owned weather balloons are launched daily to collect information about temperature, winds, moisture in the air, and this is according to Time magazine. Now, Porter explains that this balloon was detected so quickly and raised alarms because it was a massive size. So, a typical weather balloon, it grows in size as it ascends in the atmosphere, starting off about 6 feet wide, and it can expand to like roughly 20 feet in diameter, okay? The Chinese balloon is around 90 feet wide. That's like the length of three buses, all right? This is according to U.S. defense officials. Now, and this is where the China's foreign affairs have said, oh, this is just a weather balloon. It's gone off course. Again, this is reporting from Scientific American. Although China's Ministry of Foreign Affairs quickly claimed that the object is merely a civilian weather observatory blown off course, this is yesterday, Friday, the Pentagon press secretary, the Air Force Brigadier General Patrick Ryder, he held a press briefing where he stated, quote, we know that it's a surveillance balloon. We know this is a Chinese balloon and that it has the ability to maneuver. The reason that last part is really important, the ability for a balloon to maneuver, is because typically weather balloons simply just go with the winds. I mean, there's different weather balloons for different purposes, but as I understand them, they're often tethered to something, or if they do have freedom of rein to move, they put them on a certain path that generally the winds move in a certain direction, but the winds will determine or dictate how fast, how slow they move, so there's that to be considered. So if the Pentagon does say, all right, we know this is a surveillance balloon and we know China owns it, how long does it take for that balloon to be actually picked up by the Pentagon and their surveillance capabilities to protect America's defense, air defense anyways? So it's not only the size of it, but what it's made of as well. Different materials will reflect radar differently. For example, how visible it would be is depends kind of how big it is, what it's made of, also the detection technology being employed to track it. And they will also say that once you know something's there, well, it's a lot easier to find it, right? Part of the finding things is knowing where to look. Now, once you know roughly where something is, you're looking very carefully, you can actually be able to start tracking it. So when it's the actual technology that's on the balloon, we'll know more, hopefully, once all the remains of the balloon are picked up in the Atlantic Ocean, which I've been reading that this could be over an area of 7 miles, so multiple ships will need to pick it up. But I suspect it won't take them weeks to get everything. Probably have it together in a few days. Hopefully, we'll have a better idea of what kind of technology, camera technology, especially sensors that it had on it, and that would kind of give us a greater idea of the intention behind the use of it. And this brings us to, okay, why a balloon in the first place? Well, we know Chinese have satellites. This is one of the first questions I answered when someone reached out to me. It's like, you know, we should immediately shoot this down. This is a tremendous threat to the United States. And I want to point out, if everyone listening doesn't know this already, the Chinese have a tremendous spy signature here inside the United States. What I mean by that is not only does China have spy satellites taking photos of our borders, taking photos of different parts of our country that are relevant in terms of military capabilities, but also they've got people on the ground collecting intelligence. And guess what? So does America. We've got spies all over the world collecting intelligence on a whole host of different things, particularly China, since they're most likely, you could wager, our number one adversary competitor in the world. So let's take this for a second. The fact that a spy balloon came over the United States, trust me, the Chinese have been spying on us with satellite technology for much, much longer, and this balloon is not that big of a threat. So let's just compare for a moment balloons versus satellites. Maybe we can tease out why a balloon was chosen for this operation. So this is according to James Rogers, an academic at the University of Southern Denmark and Cornell University. He said, quote, balloons offer a few advantages over the use of satellites or even drones. Not only are they cheaper than launching satellites into space, but by operating within the bounds of the Earth's atmospheres closer to the surface, they can obtain better quality images. Balloons are high-tech in their own right. They're like envisaged as systems that can fly up to 90,000 feet. They can deploy their own drone systems and detect incoming missiles. Now, according to Michael Clark, another academic, he's pointing out that the balloons can soar above the range of most planes. And for example, your average commercial flight, like 35,000 feet. This balloon, I believe, is floating predominantly around 60,000 feet. So it wasn't in their air range at all. So it wasn't like a threat to our civilian commercial aircraft. Okay, so if they can, in fact, soar above most range of planes, they can also slow their speed. It means that they aren't always picked up by radar. Well, I mean, this is not like everyone's looking outside all the time looking for spy balloons at 60,000 feet. They depend on radar to pick them up. And this, compare that to a fast-moving aircraft, a balloon that could maybe be moving at a very slow pace, just could be challenging for radar to pick up. While additional technology you could also use to hide the balloon, or even a certain paint could help further conceal them, what's equally important, balloons can stay over one area for longer periods than satellites if the weather permits. So satellites, they can provide really high resolution imagery, but the ability to monitor, to pick up wireless or computer traffic is an advantage if you can stay in one place. So the satellite can only pick up as it travels over a relatively short period. Again, this is kind of where the benefit of a balloon, very slow moving, can pick up different types of intelligence. There's also the cost benefit. A satellite costs like $300 million of its lifetime, just according to one estimate back in 2020. And even the most high-tech balloon would be much, much cheaper. So if you just think about it, pure military advantage, why I'd want to use a balloon versus a satellite, there are some advantages there to the balloon. So it's not completely unheard of that the Chinese would use a balloon to spy on the United States. And we'll get into a moment of why they actually did this and why now. But let's dig into something that was about to actually happen. The Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, was in a few days going to visit his Chinese counterpart in Beijing. And this is according to Reuters.com. And there's certainly going to be plenty to disagree about, from Taiwan to chips and trade, but they'll almost be trying to answer the same questions. How can the world's two biggest economies avoid a new Cold War? Ties between the superpowers they have frayed over the past few years and sank it to their worst in decades. Last August, when, for example, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi visited Taiwan, prompting unprecedented Chinese military drills near the self-ruled island. So since then, President Biden's administration has said it hopes to build a floor for the relationship and ensure that the rivalry doesn't spiral into conflict. Now, Biden met with his Chinese President Xi Jinping back in November with the goal in mind, and both leaders pledged more frequent communications. According to Jude Blanchette, who's a China expert at the Center of Strategic International Studies, quote, "I think the goal is to basically fast forward this Cold War to its detente phase, thereby just kind of skipping the Cuban Missile Crisis. This is really about reestablishing an undergirding of the relationship and putting in some procedures and mechanisms just to be able to manage through some of the tensions in the relationship." So more or less, that was the goal of the upcoming trip, was just like, hey, let's be talking more. So if misunderstandings happen, we can work through them. We've got a framework to do with that. Now, China is also keen for a stable U.S. relationship so it can focus on its economy, which has just been battered by a now recently abandoned zero COVID policy. And it's been neglected by foreign investors, alarmed by what they see as return of state intervention in the market. Now, recent months, Xi has met with world leaders seeking to reestablish ties and settle disagreements, including with Australia, which will resume coal exports to China after a three-year hiatus. And he's also sidelined some of his wolf warrior diplomats whose kind of strident rhetoric alienated many of China's trade partners. So there was big hopes for this upcoming trip, especially on both sides, the United States and China. And then a Chinese spy balloon floated across the United States. Very quickly did Secretary of State Blinken cancel this trip and say this was very irresponsible for the China for China to launch this balloon, and this was kind of a big stick in the eye to this relationship that was already on touchy ground and needed to be improved upon. So this is where I wanted to get through, and I did sprint through all that just to give a little bit of color and a build up to where I really want the question I'd like to be answering as best as possible. It's, why did they do this in the first place, and what in fact is the intent of the Chinese? So let's dig into this, shall we? This is a recent statement from Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, and he was just stating what the balloon, what the intention was behind the balloon. So, this afternoon, the direction of President Biden, a U.S. fighter aircraft, successfully brought down this high-altitude surveillance balloon that was launched by China over the water of the coast of South Carolina in U.S. airspace. The balloon, which was being used by China in an attempt to surveil strategic sites in the continental United States, was brought down above U.S. territorial waters. And he goes on, but that's more or less what he's saying. So, our Secretary of Defense is saying the intention was, in fact, to surveil strategic sites in the continental United States. Okay. And here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you in a few moments that the intention to surveil strategic sites, that was, I'm going to wager, a secondary intention. My belief, the intent behind this operation of launching a Chinese spy balloon that would float across the continental United States, it's far more about a recent development of American military relationship between the Philippines and the U.S. and how that affects the Chinese ability to own and operate the waters in the South China Sea. So, let's dig into that here in a bit. So, given the tense relationship between Beijing and Washington, and this is according to Stripes, and this is Michael Clark, who's a professor at the Department of War Studies in King's College London, and he believes that the political considerations could have played a role in why the United States has not, at that time, shot down the balloon, and why it didn't announce the presence of the balloon earlier. Quote, "The political reason is that if they shoot it down, it will make a bigger incident of it. The sensible argument is it's not actually picking up anything valuable. We can get more out of a Chinese from this by underreacting than just needling them with the fact that they're spying on our airspace, he explained. The presence of another suspected balloon in Latin America only strengthens Washington's case that the balloons, so keep this in mind, there were actually two balloons, one in our territory as well as another one in Latin America. These balloons were dispatched deliberately, according to Clark. Now, Steve Tsang, who's the director of China Institute, the University of London School of Oriental and African Studies, argued that any spy balloon would probably be of symbolic value, showing that the Chinese are able to send something in the air to survey U.S. military installations. Quote, and they're doing it because for decades, the U.S. has been sending spy planes along the Chinese coast and sometimes over Chinese airspace to monitor the Chinese in ways that they couldn't do very much about it, he said. And now they can, so they are. Clark, meanwhile, believes that China was responding to our recent U.S. decisions in Southeast Asia. Quote, I'm certain in my own mind that this was China's rather clumsy reaction to the statements that have been made this week, last week, and the reopening of bases in the Philippines, he said. Analysts said the decision could offer U.S. forces a strategic position from which to mount operations in the event of a conflict in Taiwan or South China Sea. So, I'm going to dig into what these military bases in the Philippines actually signify and what that is all about. And this is the bigger issue here. And this is what I want to kind of describe of what happens in geopolitics. It's never black and white. There's always this gray that's being operated in, and there's always a few steps down the road that geopolitical leaders are trying to think and operate in. I mean, for example, the Chinese know that Secretary of State Blinken's going to show up to Beijing in a couple of days. So why before that trip would they send this balloon that would cause, they know what kind of response this would cause. And this is what I want to explain is that this balloon was meant to be seen, meant to be found, and meant to cause such reaction. Doing a little bit of research for this episode, just Google Chinese spy balloon. You will find article and article and video, YouTube, like all these national security experts talking about why they think it was. The Chinese wanted this to be seen, okay? So once we understand that, then it's like, well, what did they hope we would feel about it? Now, their argument's already happening. There's obviously those applauding Biden's approach, those condemning his approach, right? Something Americans are very good at, blaming each other for things that are going on, Republicans versus Democrats, blah, blah, blah. So if that's what the Chinese intended, one of us to cause this reaction, another would be just to observe what we would do. But ultimately, this is, in my view, meant to send a signal that, as Clark pointed out a few moments ago, that this, in fact, for years, the United States has been surveilling China and they couldn't really do anything about it. Now they feel like they're in a position where maybe they can do a little something about it. And more importantly, the Chinese are very upset with the fact that the Philippines and the United States have reestablished and enhanced a military relationship only in this last couple of days and weeks. And let me get into that and what that looks like. So this is according to Reuters. The Philippines has granted the United States greater access to its military bases. Their defense chief said on Thursday, so this week, amid mounting concern over Chinese increasing assertiveness in the disputed South China Sea and tension over self-ruled Taiwan. Now, Austin, that's our Secretary of Defense, in the Philippines for talks as the United States seeks to extend its security options as a part of its efforts to deter any move by China against self-ruled Taiwan, referred to the Philippine decision as a big deal, as he and his counterpart reaffirmed their commitment to bolstering their alliance. Quote, our alliance makes both our democracies more secure and helps uphold a free and open Indo-Pacific, said Austin. Now, we discuss concrete actions to address destabilizing activities in the water surrounding the Philippines, including the West Philippine Sea, and we remain committed to strengthening our mutual capacities to resist armed attack, Austin said. That's just part of our efforts to modernize our alliance. And these efforts are especially important as the People's Republic of China continues to advance its illegitimate claims in the West Philippine Sea, he added. China said greater U.S. access to the Philippine military bases undermined regional stability and raised tensions. Quote, this is an act that escalates tensions in the region and endangers regional peace and stability, China's foreign ministry spokesperson Mao Ning said in a regular briefing. Quote, regional countries should remain vigilant about this and avoid being used by the U.S., end quote. So now we're really getting to the kind of meat and potatoes of why, in fact, did a Chinese spy balloon end up over the United States? This, in my view, has more to do with this recent development between the United States and the Philippines, allowing four military bases to be reopened and having a stronger American presence in the Philippines to defend that country and others, its ability to use the fishing lanes and the economic zone that they had previously had prior to the South China Sea creating their nine dash line, which essentially says by some kind of historical claim that these are actually Chinese waters, but in fact where previously these multiple countries had shared, which depend their economies and the individual country level depended on dramatically for their fishing and so forth. So this is what I really believe it's about. It's about, which I've talked about in previous episodes. You can go back, for example, just looking of the episodes I've talked about when it regarding the South China Sea in the past of what like the China really is trying to accomplish here, why they're trying to retake. For example, you can go back to episode 36. I talk about China's game plan, and I talk about the outlining of the three warfares China implements to infiltrate Western institutions and affect change. And I've also, you've heard me talk many times about their desire to take over Taiwan and the different island chains that they're attempting to take over by creating fake islands. And you've heard me talk about this. Episode 15, South China Sea. You can go back and hear just briefly on each of those of how, in fact, they're doing this. And this is what it's really about in my mind. This is the issue of why you saw a Chinese spy balloon come across the United States. They were trying to send the United States a signal saying, hey, this development between you and the Philippines, we don't like it, and we're going to do something that we had never done before, really be quite overt with our feelings about this. Now, we're going to claim, I'm speaking for the Chinese, that this is just the weather balloon went off course, but the reality is it's not the case. Now, moving forward, what in fact will the United States do when it comes to China? I think, I understand that China was trying to use this to send a signal like, hey, we're not going to put up with you and the Philippines working together. I think this is an opportunity for the United States to kind of whack China on the head, so to speak, rhetorically, saying, hey, you overtly provoked us by putting your own spy balloon right across our borders. Comparing that to just opening a military base, reestablishing military bases in the Philippines, which is not the same as putting a spy balloon over China, right? They're not the same. So basically, China is escalating the tensions, and now the United States can use that fact that they just did this and to kind of say, well, if you want us to pull out of XYZ countries or you want some kind of trade negotiation, you've lost a lot of leverage because you, in fact, China, just put a spy satellite or spy balloon over the United States. So while this, I know there's a lot of debate on how the Biden administration handled this, I think ultimately this does us, puts us in a better position moving forward in terms of any type of negotiation on trade, cyber warfare, American military presence in the South China Sea, etc. Because, in fact, this is a very provocative move by the Chinese. We can use it in those kind of negotiations moving forward. Now, for example, if we were to see another spy balloon tomorrow over the coast of California, would they immediately be shot down? I suspect it would be, as compared to going across all the course of the United States. So this is kind of like that first, kind of ramping up that first part of the competition. This is essentially puffing up of a chest, so to speak, of like, well, I'll do this, well, you'll do this, go back and forth. That is more or less what's happening in my view. This isn't about collecting intelligence. And no, I do not think we looked weak because we didn't shoot the balloon down the first minute we saw it. Okay? We mitigated its abilities to collect intelligence while it was crossing over the United States. We have that capability as well. The point being is we can use this as, since it has happened and we shot it down, now we can collect intelligence on the balloon itself and we can use it as a point of leverage in future negotiations with the Chinese. It's absolutely fascinating to say the least. And sadly, this is what I've talked about in previous episodes of what happens when you have an authoritarian state whose domestic population, like China's, it's really hacked off by the zero COVID policy. They've been locked down for a couple of years now, and they feel the some of the minimal rights they had even further being strained, not being able to leave their homes, and etc. When that happens in an authoritarian state, historically, those countries tend to become more aggressive outward. You've heard me quote geopolitical analyst Peter Zeihan a number of times. He was recently on the Joe Rogan podcast. And he talked about the demographics of both China and countries like China, Russia as well, and how whenever authoritarian states who are dealing with the demographic crisis, they tend to start becoming more aggressively on the world stage. And we've certainly seen that in the case of Russia and Ukraine. And now we're starting to see it with China as well. I've talked about in the short to near term, perhaps 3 or 5 years, you could see China creating a, for example, full naval blockade around Taiwan, or even potentially launch a maritime operation to retake the island. The point is we're getting a more aggressive China in geo and, you know, in geopolitics. And I don't see how it will wane anytime soon if they continue to act provocatively, especially as the United States continue to bolster its alliances in and around the areas that China believes they actually own. So I hope you appreciated and enjoyed this this analysis. And be honest, if you completely disagree with me, reach out at Brief Before Impact on Instagram. I'd love to hear your thoughts, because I think we're going to learn more in the coming weeks about the capabilities of this balloon, and certainly now how the United States military will be operating in countries like the Philippines as well and others in the region. As always, I hope you are picking up what I'm putting down. I am Matt Parker, and this is Brief Before Impact.